morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I am talking about spiritual warfare this week. Our key passage has been Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Hopefully, after looking at some things in more depth this week, this verse is making more sense to you. I'm going to kind of summarize some things and then talk about what does it mean to put on armor today, or beginning today. I do believe that these spiritual forces, the rulers, the authorities that Paul mentions, we've looked at the background, they are divine beings that God, in a sense, in punishment for man's rebellion against God, placed over different nations. And they rebelled. They became wicked rulers over the nations. We didn't look at the passage for that yet, but Psalm 82 was understood in the first century, as Christianity was starting, as a psalm talking about how these sons of God who were assigned to rule the nations that we read about in places like Daniel 10, there's a prince of Persia that holds up Gabriel, and Michael comes and fights against him. And who are these people? They're these rulers that govern over nations, and they work with Satan. They have worked with Satan to become deceivers of the nations. Psalm 82 says, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. And so here is God pictured as someone ruling over these lesser divine beings. And by verse 6, he says, I said you are gods, you are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. This is definitely an allusion to Deuteronomy 32 we looked at yesterday. As far as the nations being God's inheritance, there God says that Jacob, Israel, will be the nation that is his inheritance. But because these divine rulers are not using their authority right, but are instead deceiving the nations, God says he's going to judge them. They are going to die like mere mortals. He is going to consign them with the devil and those angels that had already rebelled with the devil to hell. So judgment is going to come upon them. This is all part of the work of Jesus in taking apart and dismantling the work of the devil. We saw that verse in 1 John 3:8 yesterday. So that's kind of an overview. I know this isn't often presented in the Bible, and the Bible doesn't really present it clearly in one place, but when you start putting together these passages in Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 82, Genesis 10, Acts 17, Paul's speech or sermon to the Athenians. They're all talking about this, and it's all the assumed belief system or background when you start reading other texts from the first century. So that's who these divine rulers are, and they are joining with Satan to scheme against us, according to Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. We are called upon to take our stand against them, and we take our stand by putting on the full armor of God. So what does that look like? Well, what have we learned about what their scheme is? The devil from the beginning has been a deceiver. The devil is called a liar and the father of lies. The devil from the beginning has called into question the word of God. He leads people to doubt the truth of God's word. And so really, in a sense, this program where I encourage you to trust the Bible is an act of spiritual warfare, encouraging you to take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's main scheme is to get you to not trust the Bible. And so we take our stand against that anytime we're growing in our confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I told you at the beginning of this that often when we hear spiritual warfare, we think about saying special prayers to bind demons or cast out demons, or we think of exorcisms, or we think of weird things happening in weird houses that we see in the movies. But the biblical picture is much more portrayed on a battle for truth. Satan deceives the nations by introducing falsehoods. He is the original creator of fake news. He wants to cause people to doubt God's word. And I think that you can see a good example of this with the writing of the Quran. I'll just be blunt about that. When you have a person who says, no, the Bible's not true. Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. And salvation is not by grace alone, by trusting in Jesus alone. Salvation is by doing a series of good works, including praying towards Mecca 5 times a day. And how do I know all this? Well, according to Muhammad, Muhammad knows all this is wrong in the Bible because an angel came and told him this. What do we know about angels? The Bible calls them the rulers, the authorities, the prince. There are some good angels, but there are bad angels. And the bad angels are going to look physically the same as the good angels. You know, they don't appear with horns and a tail and red and everything else. No, the Bible says Satan has the appearance of an angel of light. So if an angel comes and says, oh, God's word in the Bible, that's not true. Jesus is not the Savior. Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead. Here's what's true, and he presents you an alternative truth that leads you to a different path from the Bible. That's the devil's schemes. That's the prince of the air working to deceive the nations. That is just simply a Christian view of what you have in the Quran. It may not be politically correct, but that's what it means to be a Christian, is to identify all truths or all stories that are in competition that call the Bible a lie. That's the same thing that Satan did in the garden. He said, did God really say? All right, that's what you see happening with the founding of Islam. Now, Islam is going to have their own explanation and say, well, people corrupted the Bible. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that whole debate, but I'm just saying from a Christian perspective, that's how you would have to view what's going on there. The devil lies all the time. And the way that we arm ourselves against the devil is not just in this particular battle, like false religions, although there are a number of false religions, and we need to watch out for there. I mean, there are hundreds of cults that just spring up one after another, and they all seem to have very similar common themes of questioning the truth of the Bible. But there are many other kinds of lies that are in our culture that call into question God's word. For instance, God created man male and female, and he created them so that the man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. You have this design of man and woman to complement each other, to be in this marriage relationship. That is completely under attack. There is so many churches today even that will say, well, God didn't mean that, or God didn't really teach that, or you know, there's different ways or modern ways of looking at that. That's the same issue of voices saying, did God really say? And we've got to ask ourselves, are we going to trust God's word? Are we going to trust what the Bible says, what Jesus pointed to as the source of truth about the Bible, or are we going to listen to these other voices that come from our culture that say contrary things? And church is another place to make sure you're grounded in the truth. So I encourage you to go to church this weekend, and I'm out of time, but I'm going to get into more specifically how to fight against the devil's schemes next week. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.